Hello, how you doing? My name's Aidan. I'm an Antrim man, Belfast man, Falls Road, born and bred, and I now live in Chelmsford. Been in London for many years, trained as a nurse, general nurse over at home, and then went in the early 80s to London. And since then, been into mental health, and I'm now a therapist, and I still work in mental health. But I'm trying to retire at the moment. Mm. And when I do that, cycling seems the way forward.
Yes, because you travelled here basically by bike, Aidan, didn't you?
I did.
Where is the bike right now?
It's downstairs. It's a sorry looking thing. Very, very. Didn't take long to be a sorry looking old thing, I can tell you. You know,
oh my goodness.
Like everything around it.
So tell us a bit about this journey that you're on at the moment, because I got an email during the week about this man cycling 2,200 miles. So tell us a bit about what you're doing.
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed cycling. I've always enjoyed tour cycling. You know, I'm a very slow cyclist. I'm living in Chelmsford in Essex, and there is a new generation of Irish people. First, second, third generation who are now bringing our culture to a high focus, a high level that we've never had before. You know, the whole demography of emigration, especially Irish emigration in London, has moved and changed, and the new generation are very techie minded, and they are now in Chelmsford, for instance, which never really had much of an Irish influence before, now has a Gaelic team, you know, under 7s, 9s, 11s, 13s. We're a new St. Seds.
Wow.
Gaelic team. That's great. It's unbelievable to see. We have Irish language. We have classes every second week in the Irish language, which is getting more and more interest all. It's amazing for somewhere like Chelmsford. And, of course, we have our Cayley band, our award-winning Cayley band.
Is that the crest that I see
that
on
is
your...
That is the crest that you see there. And we won the Southern Englands a few weeks ago, and we were hoping to qualify for the All-Irelands. Only one gets through, and unfortunately we came third there at the weekend. Scotland and London just pipped us. Very, very unlucky. You know.
But now you know what to expect for next year when you're going to win.
100%. You know, they're a great, dedicated bunch and very, very, very tight. That was unfortunate.
But just goes to show the standard that's out there now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hit the nail on the head. You know, the standard extremely high.
Mm. So tell us, you said, you know, a sudden surge where you are at the moment. What's changed?
It's the new generation now. You know, James Hockter's at the head of what we're doing there. Bridges, his wife plays in the Cayley band, and you know, there's, you know, we've got Dominic Bell of the languages, Dermot Cahy in the Gaelic football. We've got I can't mention. There's so many people involved who are. Who are really dedicated to this. I can't mention all the names. I hope I don't leave anybody out. But I think being Irish means something different now. Obviously, we came through the 80s in Britain and in London, you know, and I certainly know that as someone who lived in London from Belfast throughout the 80s. It was something that you surely felt. And I think now... people are recognising the strength of Irish culture. The Brits have no fear of it anymore, and now they want to embrace us so we can express ourselves freely. And the new generation of Irish coming in really want to positively show Irish culture for what it is. You know, and you're saying, you know, the English people really wanting to, you know, embrace it.
Mm. If you could go back to yourself in the 80s and tell yourself right now what's happening, would you believe it?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It was a bit easier for me because I was a nurse. I wasn't in the building sites. And obviously it was a very politically charged time, particularly from somebody like myself from the Falls Road who had very firm, strong political beliefs and wouldn't budge on them at all. But obviously you had to have a very open and accepting mind as well. No, there was an awful lot of prejudice in those days, which I did not think would change. It's a completely different environment. I think that's down to many reasons. The whole demographic emigration in London particularly, I can only really speak for London, the Irish emigrants have now become very strong. And we have a lot to teach other immigrant communities. I mean, there's so many. I mean, in Chelmsford, there's first, second, third generation. And you see in London, you started off in North and West London and a little bit in East London where you had Irish communities. The next generation would move out to the counties, out of there to Hertfordshire, to Berkshire, to, like with Chelmsford, to Essex for the East Londons. And then you see a few generations. They are no longer a smaller community. You know, they're opening up and are much more proud of their culture and of nothing to fear. But you're also seeing the second and third generations wanting to know about what Irish culture is about. And it's great. It's a great feeling. It's something very different.
But even you were saying there before we ever recorded that, you know, since you've come over to Ireland, it's just there's something about our culture when you're actually here as well. So how are you embracing that?
Oh, you know, this is something that has surprised me so much. You know, I would only come back from time to time. I've done a few Ring of Kerrys, I've done the Ring of the Reeks, you know, I come over with my friend Sean Kelleher, who's a Tralee man, you know, and that gets me over here to do these things for the cycling. And you're here and you're back again. Now, this time, you know, having left over 40 years ago and lived in various places, the thing that just amazes me more than anything is just Irish people, the openness, the friendliness, and the, I mean, I'll give you an example, you know, with my bicycle. I got off at Ross Lair. I was on my way to, I met a good friend in Tramore for lunch, who I hadn't seen since the 80s. You know, it's a great thing about doing this, you know, for lunch. And then my gears went when I went out. And when I was going out of Tramore, gears went completely. I'm spinning around in a wee wheel going up a hill and then couldn't get it off. Back in again, took it to a bicycle shop because I've got complicated gears. Not that I know much about bikes. They couldn't fix it. Spent 3/4 of an hour on it. And then when I asked him how much it was, didn't want to know. You know, I says, well, at least I can give you 20 quid. He was, just totally refused, laughed at me, nearly pushed me out the door. You know, and I thought, there's no other country.
No
other country you would get that. You certainly wouldn't get it in England and certainly not in the south of England, you know. And then, you know, just everybody I've met. I haven't had to put up my tent since I've been here, you know. Even when I was going to put up my tent in somebody's garden, they took me into the house. You know, it's everybody's just so welcoming, so open, you know. Stayed in Killarney last night, you know. They were just, I mean, absolutely amazing, you know.
Is that where you got the Ring of Kerry shirt?
It is. And Dan Lenehan's B&B, I mean, gave me bed, gave me breakfast and wouldn't let me put my hand in my pocket for a Guinness. I mean, I had to be a wee bit worried there. If I'm going to do this cycle, I got to do it properly, you know.
That's iron, you know. They used to prescribe that one time.
Absolutely. It is iron. It is iron, you know. It's great for you. There's no doubts about it, you know, as long as...
Does the sign say Guinness is good for you?
It certainly is. It certainly is in moderation, you know. If you're doing a big cycle all around Ireland, I think you have to be wee bit sensible about it, you know. And I'm not always great at that myself, to be fair.
No, but who is? But you're experiencing life here now in Ireland because you're taking your time, you're taking it slow while also doing something amazing here. And has it taught you now that you're kind of looking at your retirement that you want to come back here?
Now, that's such an interesting question. It's, of course, you know, your heart is in Ireland and all that. And it's true. You know, there's no doubts about it. No matter how young you are when you go, no matter where you go, when you come back, you feel it. There's no doubts about it. You know, it's just an amazing, beautiful country, you know. But like every other person who leaves the shores at an early age and has kids, I have 4 kids. You know, I've got a partner, 4 kids in England.
Do they cycle?
One does, you know, 1 out of 4. Bad. So not even that much. He's more of a footballer, actually, than a cyclist. But, you know, so it would mean coming over here. What it has taught me is I'm going to spend a lot more time here. I'm so excited about the next month and going up the Wild Atlantic Way.
Oh, wow. You know. Yeah.
And meeting interesting, quirky people. You know, like the night before last, I stayed in Bantry and I stayed with a beekeeper. Honestly, you know, I was out, I had donned all the beekeeping gear, was up pulling out that, you know, things that I'd never done, finding out about the bees, you know. And they hosted me. They were absolutely lovely people. And I'm hoping now to meet interesting, quirky people along the way, because obviously I have a job to do here. I'm raising awareness for Irish culture in the south of England, particularly in Essex. We also have a fundraiser as well. You know, we're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. Okay. Eden Cycles for SEDS. And I'll tell you a wee bit about the SED thing in a second as well, which is quite interesting,
do.
You know. But because we're raising awareness, I'm trying to come up with ideas of making it interesting.
Yeah.
So meeting quirky people and having short interviews with them, you know, and James does his magic with editing and putting a bit of music or whatever to it, you know, and make it look, you know, digestible. So I've done with the beekeeper now. I think I'm going to meet a 92-year-old Irish dancer I'm trying to do some of the islands as well, or as many of the islands as I can on the way up. So anybody out there who's got somebody interesting, different, quirky, wee bit crazy, doesn't matter what way at all, if they will meet me and I can talk to them for 5 minutes and we'll get it up there on Instagram, that would be great, you know. And
the way I'd like to describe those people are the unique ones of here, you know, because without them there is just no fun, and there's no, like, I would consider myself as quite a unique person because I'm not normal in any shape or form.
That's great.
But that's what makes us, you know, like,
absolutely.
You have to be just out there. And I imagine you're quite a unique person as well.
Being Irish is, you know, we're all a wee bit crazy, aren't we?
Yeah.
There is no doubt.
And I suppose this month now, with football and everything, we're going to get even more crazy.
Yes, 100%. 100%. There's no doubts about it. You know, it's we're a unique race. There's no doubts at all.
Definitely. So tell us a bit about SEDS.
SED, right. You know, it's interesting. You know, and it's very interesting for me. SED, Saint Sed, right? It was a Saint Sed in the 600s. Yeah.
Okay.
He trained as a priest about 650 AD, and he was trained by Saint Aidan in Lindisfarne. So Aidan, he trained in Iona. He's an Irish Celtic priest at that time. You know, you had the Roman and Celtic Christian churches. So he was the Celtic Christian, and Aidan mentored Sed. He was born and bred in Listen. He was born and bred in Lindisfarne, and he was mentored by Aidan, who ironically was succeeded by Finan, and I have a son called Finan. You know, but that was deliberate, you know, that wee bit. I knew about that. But I'd never heard about Sed before.
Okay.
And Sed went down to Essex, and he was a multilingualist, you know, polyglot, whatever. He could speak lots of languages, and he was a great mediator, and he mediated between the Roman Christian Church and the Celtic Christian Church. So in the mid 600s he went to Essex, and he spoke Irish in Essex before England was even England. So our language was in Enin. He became Bishop of London. So our language was down there before they even had a country.
Oh my goodness.
That is their country now, you know?
Yeah. And when you think about, you know, what England had to do to Ireland once upon a time was take our language, and then to think that we actually had it there first.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
I know.
So you're raising awareness about this along with trying to raise money, because for myself, I haven't heard that story before.
Yes. It's one of these things, you know, until we had the internet, I suppose, there are scholars out there who know this, obviously, but it's not widely known information. And then when you start to research these things and put it together, wow, you know, we've been out there, you know. Sure, we were in America and everywhere before anybody else.
For such a small country, we make such a big difference in places, you know.
We certainly do.
And speaking of, you've been to different countries cycling before, and, you know, you kind of know what you're preparing for right now, but you did say, like, it's not as easy as just getting up on the bike and cycling. Like, you have to have this prepared.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I done a month in North Phuket in Thailand in the mountains. which I do from time to time to prepare for things. I mean, before, you know, 2 months ago, I was like a busted sofa, you know. I would have struggled to get the first bit done, you know. When you get a wee bit older, you have to really go, you know what, I have to prepare for this, I have to work hard. So I would be doing, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day there, and then I would be doing yoga as well, and you have to. I mean, wow. I do a lot of yoga. Otherwise, you're stiff as a board. The other muscles won't cope otherwise, you know. So I'll do half hour yoga session before I start in the morning, and I'll do a half one when I finish. Otherwise, it won't work, you know.
Yeah.
So I done a month out there to prepare for this, as I often do. I'll go out there a few times a year and really work hard at the training.
You do have a very calm presence about you. And, you know, you said you were a mental health nurse and therapist. And, you know, what made you decide that career?
Well, I think it was more decided for me, you know, because it was from West Belfast, and it was just in a situation where I was from, there was employment was 1 out of 3. I think there were 2 out of 3 unemployed at one time in West Belfast. And certainly when I finished school, the options weren't there. And I just thought, I was just always so interested in people. And when the opportunity came to apply for, I'd never heard, you know, in those days you just called it psychiatric nurse. I'd really never heard much about it at all. But I was really excited about it. So I just applied, you know, with a handful of O-levels, and got rejected, first of all, and then got in because somebody pulled out, you know, and I didn't really like it to begin with, you know, but after a while, you know, I started to get the feel of it, and then when I qualified, there were no jobs, of course, as there never are, and went to London, loved it, absolutely loved it. You know, and I loved the multiculturalism of London and working with people with mental health issues from different cultures. You know, you go down such a rabbit hole, you know, people with, you know, psychotic people who you can trace a lot of it to their immigrant background and, you know, their parents moving to another country and their parents in that other country not really coping with it, you know. And then I found as time went on, when I opened my own business, I've got my own care home, Forensic, as in the interface of mental health and criminal justice system in East London. And my background to that was I worked as a community psychiatric nurse for a long, long time in East London. And I found working with the Irish community, I was just so interested in, you know, people who had struggled, you know, for many reasons. And for many Irish reasons, alcohol was often involved. And I think it was a matter of struggling with the identity.
I suppose for a lot of us, we don't understand a lot of people's emotions. And, you know, well, as you can see in the news every day, there's so many struggles happening in the world. And I suppose you look at your own story, but someone said to me before, look at the other person and ask, like, do you think they've had breakfast today? Do you think they had a good morning today? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that person said that before that I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And you just think for yourself, you know?
No, it's so true. It's so true. And a lot of my work, as I was a community psychiatric nurse in Hackney, I was coming across a lot of older Irish guys with mental health and alcohol issues. And, you know, you were trying to get them. And we'd set up services where we tried to repatriate them and tried to get them to come back. And so many of them wouldn't and did not and hadn't been home for years and years and years. And you were trying to make connections with their family and trying to get them back, and they wouldn't, because quite often they were just so embarrassed. You know, they had sort of left all those years ago to become a success, and it hadn't really worked. And they had mental health issues. They never put money away. They worked on the building sites. They never had bank accounts. They never had mortgages. They felt they were failures, and they were embarrassed, and they didn't want to go back.
And so how many people are on the same boat?
So many. So many, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it is quite sad to see, and totally understandable at the same time.
Mm. So do you find cycling is your therapy in itself?
Totally, totally. You know, and Sean and I go out Sundays, it's our cyclotherapy session, you know. He bangs on about teaching, I bang on about nursing, and we get it out of our systems. there's no doubts about it. You know, cycling is a great therapy, you know. The wheels and the bike go round and round and your feet go round and round, and, you know, we don't break any records, you know. You know, we just go around and, you know, and I find it incredibly therapeutic. You know, and I spend a lot of time in Southeast Asia cycling. I've done a lot of charity cycles. I've cycled around Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, Malaysia, you know, for charities out there. Wow. Slowly, you know.
But surely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, slowly. And it's lovely. You just meet so many people and, you know, you always have good food at the end of the day, you know, a nice cold beer and somewhere to sleep. And then you're up again for the next day. I find it great.
Yeah, it actually sounds fantastic because, like you said, even now where you're here at the moment in Kerry, that you're meeting so many characters. And if you hadn't done this, would you have ever met any of us? Would you have met me today? You know,
absolutely.
This is why things happen, and I think you have to put yourself out there and do something unique.
100%. You know, and every day's a school day, and every person that you meet has something to teach you.
Yeah.
And I think if you approach life like that, you can't go wrong. You know. And even some people that you meet who aren't so helpful, you know, you know, when you digest it by thinking, well, I've learned something there. I've learned something from you, you know.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm on the radio.
You're thinking.
I won't express it in the same way, you know. There have been. But you know what? There have been very few and far between in Ireland, you know. Nearly everyone you meet is so. And the wonderful thing about Irish people is they're so curious. They're so interested. They want to hear your story and they want to listen to your story. Yeah. And, you know, I just love hearing their stories, you know.
Oh, I say you hear some stories when you're having your meal at the end of the day or something.
Oh, class. I mean, just, you know, last night somebody saw the Kayleigh dancing thing, you know, and they came over to me and asked me, you know, did I play anything? I'm saying, sorry, I'm totally talentless. But I used to play a lot of Gaelic football. That's my angle. And they started to tell me, you know, about when he was young on a Sunday night here in Kerry, the radio, and it must have been from Radio Kerry. You'd half an hour of Kayleigh music. And he said, and this guy was like, he was a good bit older than me, you know, so he was kicking on rightly. And he said, everything would stop. Everything would stop in the family. And they would take the table outside and they would all go out and everybody would, for half an hour that the Kayleigh music came on, everybody would be dancing. And he described it in such detail, almost took me there. It was beautiful. You would not get that anywhere else, you know, just because I had this written on my shirt.
Exactly. But it was a great conversation starter, isn't it?
No doubts about it. No doubts about it. Even when they're disappointed that you can't play anything, you know. I can play the fado badly.
Come here to me, Aidan. Where are you going now? Like, what's the story?
Right, okay. I am going now to Arda to stop off on my way to Limerick. I'll be in Limerick at the weekend because I'll be playing football. I was a Gaelic footballer and I coached Gaelic football when I was a little bit younger in Essex and in London. Done that for about 10 years. But I also do goalkeeping over 60s and now over 65s for Leighton Orient over in London. And at the weekend, I'm playing for an Anglia Irish team in a competition, over 65 competition in Limerick. So we've got Anglia Irish, we've got London Irish, and I think a Midland England Irish. And we're playing Ulster, Munster, Leinster, Connacht, Midland Irish, and I think our first match is against North West Ireland. So I presume there are a lot of Donegal boys. We're going to be kicking lumps out of us.
Yeah.
So that's
going to be
fun.
They're sore at the moment after not making it through.
Oh. I was wondering when that was going to come up, you know. Absolutely. I mean, Kerry, you know, the kingdom. Can we say? You know, as an Antrim man, we're obviously neutral, you know, because if we say anything, we'll just be laughed at.
Yeah. But you know, it's been fantastic. And again, you know, you could have conversations with people from both counties and you could just say, appreciate what football it brings together for people. Even if you know the smallest bit, it will still bring people together.
Absolutely. And that's
if you're watching the World Cup at the moment and you spot a Kerry jersey on the TV,
yes.
Everyone goes mental first. They're like, oh my God, it's there.
100%. No doubts about it. 100%. Yeah. You know, that's a wonderful thing about being Irish. Wherever you are in the world, when you say you're Irish, you always get a smile.
Yeah.
And you usually get a wee story with it. Everybody likes us. Yeah. you know.
Yeah, we need to take that to our advantage.
Oh, totally. No doubts about it. We have to, you know, play the caricature.
Aidan, finally, if people want to follow the journey and want to donate, they can. You said there was a Facebook page?
There's a Facebook page and an Instagram page. If you look for Aidan Cycles at SEDS.
Aidan, it's been so lovely to have you here. You've been so interesting, and I really do wish you all the best in this journey, and I hope you meet all the quirky people that you can possibly find here in the coast of Ireland.
Well, starting with yourself, Kaya, I'm sure we can only hope, you know.
It can only get better than this.
Oh, no. If it stays like this, I'll be a happy man the whole way up the Wild Atlantic Way.
Listen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.